Hello and welcome to this podcast brought to you by Charles Cameron and Associates. Today, one of our advisors, Jamie Cook-Sosa, will speak with a first-time buyer client to help them discuss their affordability and suitability tailored to their circumstances. So let's dive in.
Okay. So, Stephanie, really nice to meet you and thanks for coming to have a chat with me today. So, I understand that you are looking to buy. So maybe you could fill me in a bit more on exactly what you're looking to do.
Yeah, sure. Nice to meet you too. So at the moment, I'm currently renting, but I've recently found out that my rent's going to be going up in about 6 months. So I'm thinking about purchasing my first property with my partner, but I'm not familiar with the process. So I was just wondering kind of if we could discuss my options and what I need to do next.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. And your situation is quite common at the moment. A lot of people are finding rents going up astronomically in some cases. You're by no means alone there. So your current situation is you're renting. Do you have an idea of the kind of rough budget that you're looking at for the purchase?
Yeah, so we're sort of looking at a one-bedroom flat around Southgate, but just need to know how much I can afford. So we're renting a one-bedroom flat for about £1,700 a month, and we managed to save around £40,000. So we've got my parents who are willing to help out as well with about £60,000 for the deposit. So it's just trying to find out how much we'll be able to borrow given those numbers.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, when we're looking at what the lender can offer you as a mortgage, that's going to be tied to income. So, I mean, yeah, we'll need to have a look at that first of all. So, I mean, in terms of earning, are you and your partner both full-time employed?
Yes, we are. And we make around £82,000 a year together. So my partner does get a bonus of up to £1,000 every 6 months.
Okay, great. Yeah, thanks for that. So, I mean, when you're looking at a basic salary, lenders will take 100% of that into account. Any kind of non-guaranteed income, variable income, bonuses, etc. Typically, lenders will look at 50-60% of that figure. If it's more regular, so like every 6 months, then in some cases they can take all of it. I mean, in this case, it's not going to be particularly relevant compared to, you know, your overall base income. When we're looking at how much a lender can offer you, I mean, there's really kind of two calculations. The first will be the loan to income calculation. So for that, we'd look at your joint gross salary. So that's £82,000. The most the lender will typically go to would be, say, around five times. Some lenders offer less than that, but usually it's somewhere between 4.5 and 5 times. If we can find a lender who'll go up to that level, and given the level of deposit you told me that you have available, I think it is feasible for us to get up to 5 times. That would allow for a loan of up to, say, around about 400,000. The other calculation that we need to bear in mind, however, is the lender's affordability calculation. That's something that I'll check for you directly with the lender, just to make sure that the mortgage is not only affordable during the initial rate period, but also affordable if interest rates were to increase. So they kind of stress test the rate just to ensure that the mortgage remains affordable throughout the term. So in terms of your deposit, you said there's 40,000 in your savings, 60,000 as a gifted deposit. Altogether there, that would give us, say 100. If you were to buy a 500, then that's enough for a 20% deposit. So the only factor which affects the interest rate the lender can offer you is how much deposit you're putting down. And that tends to go in 5% bands. So with a 20% deposit, there's a good level. We should be able to get you a pretty competitive rate at that loan to value. If you were able to get to a 75% loan to value, i.e. 25% deposit, then there may be some better rates available. By all means, we can look at kind of both options before you decide what you want to go with. In terms of the gifted deposit, most lenders are absolutely fine with that, as long as we can provide something from the person gifting the deposit, saying that there's no kind of strings attached, and they're not expecting to have any charge on the property. As long as it's from a direct family member, they're usually fine with it. I think we're at a good loan to value level. We should be able to get your competitive rate. So yeah, I mean, it looks achievable based on your income. Were you familiar with the kind of fees that might be involved in the process?
Not yet. I do know that generally we should get a survey done just to assess the general conditions of the house, but I'm not sure how much that will cost or what other expenses I need to account for.
Sure, yeah. So, I mean, as part of the mortgage application, the lender will carry out a basic valuation on the property. That is only for mortgage purposes. In a lot of cases, they'll cover the cost of that themselves, which usually means you don't get a copy of the report. If there are any major defects, they'll be picked up. Depending on the kind of property you're buying, we would recommend that you do carry out your own independent survey. There are effectively three levels of survey: mortgage evaluation, level two survey, used to be called the home buyer's report, and then your level three, which is a kind of full structural survey. Given that you're buying a flat, you may not require a full structural survey. I would recommend carrying out at least a level two survey. So, I mean, that might cost you, you know, between £500 to £1,000. So, I mean, there may be a cost there for an independent survey. I would usually advise doing your survey once we get the mortgage valuation back from the bank, because if there are any major issues, then we'll know about them beforehand. So yeah, no, you're absolutely right. So survey could be an expense for you. You'll need a solicitor, of course. So for that, for a purchase around this kind of level, you might want to budget somewhere between £1,500 to £2,000. So yeah, that's something that you would need to bear in mind, that you need to have the funds for yourself. So yeah, other than that, stamp duty. As a first-time buyer, you do benefit from a discount on this. So the first £425,000 of the purchase price, you pay no stamp duty on. So depending on where the purchase price is, we may or may not have a stamp duty liability. If you were to buy at £500,000, we're talking about £3,500 stamp duty liability. So it wouldn't be astronomical. But yeah, I mean, those are effectively the main costs that you're going to encounter. The mortgage lender will typically charge an arrangement fee if you want a good interest rate, but that fee can be added onto the loan amount. So in terms of your upfront costs, solicitor, stamp duty, possibly survey as well. So yeah, I mean, just in terms of, just to talk a little bit about the process and the timeline involved, etc. The first step in the process would be to get an agreement in principle for you from a lender. So once you've identified where you would like to go to in terms of purchase price and loan amount, we can then have a look at the market, identify which lender is going to be the most suitable for you, and then we can approach that lender for an agreement in principle. The agreement in principle involves a soft credit check, so it doesn't have any overall any impact on your overall credit rating. We can usually turn it around same day. And then, yeah, once you have your agreement in principle, then you're ready to proceed with making an offer on the property. Once that offer is accepted, then we would submit the full mortgage application to that lender. If there is a long lead-in time between obtaining the original agreement in principle and having an offer accepted, and there's a better option available with another bank, no problem at all for us to leave the original agreement in principle and just reapply with another lender. As I said, you're only really looking at soft scores for the agreement in principle, so shouldn't have too much bearing on things. And so, yeah, once we submit the full application, at that point, the interest rate is booked. So even if the lender subsequently changes their rates, we would still have the rate that we applied for at the point of application. Once the application is submitted, the mortgage valuation will be instructed. We would provide the lender with whatever supporting documents they've requested from us. Once they're happy with those, they'll give financial approval. And then we just need to wait for the valuation report to come back. And then, yeah, you receive your mortgage offer. So, I mean, that whole process from having your offer accepted, submitting application, receiving your full mortgage offer, you're looking at usually around 3 weeks, depending on the lender and how busy they are. But typically, that kind of timeline. So is that all clear? Is that all
right? Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay, excellent. I mean, the only other things really to touch on, insurance, So in terms of your obligations to the lender, if you're buying a leasehold property, i.e. you don't own the freehold, then you are not ultimately responsible for insuring the building. There will already be a building insurance policy in place. So there's probably no kind of direct obligation to the lender in terms of insurance. You almost certainly want to consider some kind of contents insurance. And also, I would very much recommend as part of the process that you review your general protection arrangements with regards to life insurance, critical illness cover. We've got advisors in-house that advise specifically on those areas. So that's very much kind of part of the process as well.
Great. I'll keep that in mind. And it's definitely something I'm going to explore in the future when the time's right.
Cool. Excellent. Yeah, there'll definitely be an opportunity for you to do that. I think I've got enough information here to go away and do a bit of research for you. Did you have any other questions at this stage?
I've got a few. The first one is, do you know if there are any sort of governance schemes or incentives for first-time buyers?
So, the most notable scheme of recent years was Help to Buy, whereby the government would provide an equity loan for a percentage of the property, which I'm sure you were kind of aware of. That has been ended, that scheme. They do still offer what's called the mortgage guarantee scheme, which is designed for people with a small deposit. So say you have a 5% deposit, it basically is the government giving a guarantee to the lender that, if that loan goes bad, that they'll sort it out for them. So it allows the lender to offer you, the borrower, a cheaper interest rate, essentially. So, there's no kind of direct assistance there. And as I say, that's really designed for people with a smaller deposit. With the kind of deposit you have available, say, 20% or, 25%, probably there aren't going to be any that are particularly relevant to you, to be honest. I did touch on the stamp duty incentive for first-time buyers, which, to be honest, is probably the biggest incentive that's offered. Absolutely. As long as your property purchase price isn't over £625,000, you do benefit from that reduction.
That's great. Thank you. I know how important it is to keep up with my monthly repayments, but what happens if I miss a mortgage payment?
Okay. So, the best thing to do is not miss a mortgage payment. So the best thing to do is notify your lender if you think you might miss a mortgage payment. So lenders are really very keen for you not to miss mortgage payments. So there are various ways that they'll support you as a borrower. If you explain that, in any given month, you're having difficulties, then in most cases they would be amenable to allowing you to take a mortgage payment holiday. There is the mortgage charter as well, which has been brought in. If you've had the mortgage for at least 6 months, then typically the lender would be happy for you to move on to an interest-only mortgage for 6 months as a temporary measure. There are plenty of things available to you to support you if you think you are kind of struggling financially. It's always by far the best course of action to speak to your lender as soon as possible if you think that might be a possibility.
Thank you.
Okay, great. Well, as I said, I'll be in touch soon and we'll take it from there.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
No worries.
Thank you for listening to the Charles Cameron and Associates podcast. If you enjoyed our episode today or found it helpful, please don't forget to subscribe and share this podcast. And if you require independent mortgage advice, visit us at ccameron.co.uk. Alternatively, you can call us on 020 7953 7040 or email us at info@ccameron.co.uk. Thank you again and see you soon.